we're back from an accidental hiatus. Thanks for bearing with me. I'm going to keep this intro short. In this episode, I talk with Melanie Knutz, an adjunct at the Graduate School of Social Service and a member of Fordham Faculty United, the Union for Contingent Faculty. She talks about Fordham with a lot of love. What would it look like for an institution, especially a Jesuit one, to communicate that it values and loves its workers through the contract it offers them? I'm Anna Nowak, and this is All Who Labor.
I was just telling you how connected we are, that I also have my degree in religion, which also connects me deeply with our current union struggle, really, right? Because it's a struggle for the adjuncts in the religion department and for the adjuncts at GSS, right?
Right, yeah.
I'm a double winner in that. And so I did get my undergraduate degree in religion and thought I was going to go on in academia. And then in my senior year said, no, I want to try to live some of this stuff that I've been studying, and ended up finding a program called Volunteers in Mission that put me in a small church called Trinity Church, and they made me the social work director of all their programs. And I was very connected to Dorothy Day and the Catholic worker movement at the time, still am in terms of my heart and soul. And the way I got connected to the Catholic worker and Dorothy Day was growing up in Los Angeles. I was connected to the Berrigan brothers when I was very young. And that really introduced me to that my understanding of how to work together as human beings and the value of work and the importance of caring about making life more equal for everyone, and that fundamentally we are absolutely all connected. So when we help anyone do better, we're helping ourselves do better. And when we neglect someone or we let someone suffer, we're ultimately letting ourselves suffer. And that was sort of the environment that I grew up in.
Yeah.
And then I was sharing with you, Anna, that I have a really interesting labor background in that my grandfather was an Irish immigrant from Belfast. His dad was a master shipbuilder. My grandfather, when he was 16, went into the Merchant Marines. And when he finished with the Merchant Marines, he landed on the West Coast in San Diego, where he got a job with the local paper. And my grandfather's beat was the shipyards because he'd grown up around there. And at a certain point, the shippers decided to do this radical thing and strike. And they turned to my grandfather, who was 24, 25 years old, and they said, look, you have the gift of gab. We want you to negotiate for us. And my grandfather was certainly an adventurer, and he said, okay. And he ended up being very successful, and he negotiated a good deal for the shippers, which was unheard of, with management. And he spent the rest of his life with a high school degree, being flown all over the world as a labor mediator and negotiator. So, you know, labor and caring about labor and understanding the value of work and laborers is in my DNA. And my grandfather was, and grandparents was a huge influence in my early life. I returned to teaching after a long pause. I taught at NYU School of Social Work for 7 years as an associate adjunct professor. And when that was my first experience teaching graduate students. So that's where I discovered that I love teaching. And then it came to a point where I, in my life, where I had to make a decision. Was I going to get my PhD or was I going to have another baby? And I come from a situation where I have paid for all of my higher education, including about 20 years of psychoanalytic training and education. And it was a choice of paying for more, you know, another degree or having another baby. And I went with having another baby. And my students since 2018 have heard a lot about that other baby because I came back to teaching when I sent her off to college. She had just started her sophomore year of college when the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. So I was actually on the ground as a parent of a college student in the pandemic teaching graduate students.
Right.
So, you know, I really understood the experience from the students in living it with mm-hmm. them. But so I came back to teaching in 2018. A longtime teacher at GSS was retiring and a friend of mine. And so she passed me along to the academic dean at GSS at the time. And that was my connection. And I expected to go into teaching adjunct the way I had at NYU. At NYU, my experience as an adjunct was that we were extremely valued as external experts from the community that were a very important part of the students' education, that we could bring in our external experience actually doing the work in the community as opposed to just the academic teaching from the teachers who made their lives working at the university. So that we worked, it was this nice functioning ecosystem, right? We weren't paid well, we were paid horrifically, which is part of the reason I was able to make my decision to leave academia. But I also was working at NYU so that I could build up my private practice and have students be exposed to me as a clinician and think about seeing me as a supervisor, think about referring friends and family to me. And that's really how I thought I was coming to Fordham. And then a different experience happened, a totally unexpected first-time life experience happened for me. I met at Fordham the most unusual, extraordinary students of higher education that I have ever met in my life.
Wow.
Ever. The most unentitled, hardworking, conscientious. I was just blown away, absolutely blown away by the students. I mean, I've been to an Ivy League school. My undergraduate school was Lafayette. I had a heavenly experience there. I've never worked with students as peers, as a teacher, like the students I was meeting at Fordham. I just was blown away. I fell in love with my students. But my experience as a GSS adjunct, and I think part of this was there was a big transition that had been happening just before I came, and then they had just started the online program at GSS. So there was huge upheaval, huge upheaval. And my experience, I know other people have had different experiences as adjuncts, but my experience at GSS was the adjuncts were just dropped through the cracks. There was absolutely no orientation for us. There were no adjunct get together meetings. There was nothing. You were just thrown out there. What I did have was, because it was a new course I was hired to teach. There were regular meetings run for the teachers teaching the new course, run by the person who had created the curriculum. And that was wonderful and helpful and supportive. But in general, there was no connecting the adjuncts to each other, and there was no connecting the adjuncts to the general faculty at GSS. And that was very alien to me after my experience at NYU. And then I applied to be a part of this thing called Reimagine Higher Education. And I was accepted. And I was a part of the group that was asked to come up with different projects that Fordham could utilize to innovate on campus. And that group comprised, 30 people that was utterly inclusive, full-time faculty, people from the community, students, adjuncts, associates, non-tenured, totally inclusive group of people. So I was a part of that. And once I became a part of that group, that was beginning in January 2020. I was still teaching at GSS, and I'd also been a field advisor for 2 years, which meant I was also the face of Fordham out in the community, right? I was meeting with, you know, the directors of the hospital social work emergency room. You know, I was interfacing with community people as the face of Fordham. Anyways, so I'm a part of this Reimagine Higher Education, and it was very energizing, and it was really hard. You know, they really had us working. And Anne Fernald made sure that those of us that were a part of this, you know, committee were put on the general faculty listserv, which had never been done. And I'd been working at Fordham now for 2 years. So then, as a part of the listserv, I started to get to know the general faculty of Fordham, right? And then, of course, March 2020 happened, and the pandemic happened. And when the pandemic happened, a couple of things happened. First, they asked us on the commission for the higher education, did we want to continue? And we said we would continue via Zoom. Secondly, because Anne Fernald was so committed to inclusivity, what was available to faculty became available to anybody who was faculty. And what I experienced during the pandemic from Fordham, general Fordham, not from GSS, but from general Fordham, was as extraordinary as my students. I cannot tell you, Anna, my experience of the community support that was given to the faculty consistently, nonstop, from the moment we had to start teaching online until January of 2022 was, it's beyond description, yeah. Beyond description, the kind of support. And so I fell in love with Fordham. For the first time in my entire life, all the places I've been educated, that I've taught, I have never fallen in love with an institution. And I fell in love with Fordham. And suddenly I started meeting people. I live 100 miles outside of the city, and I'm meeting people who sent their kids to Fordham, and they go, oh yeah, my kids, they call it the Ramilly, not, you know, it's their family. And I said, I know, because the faculty, the general faculty I discovered are like the students. It draws people who are truly interested being of service. You know, it's in their DNA. And we were immersed in inclusivity, equity, diversity. this Catholic Jesuit community. It was a community, you know, the podcast that Anne Fernald and Steve D'Agostino created came out of, it started April 2020. I mean, the course that they formed, free, totally free, that went on for 2 years, that any faculty could show up, not just to teach us, you know, the first year was to teach us how to teach online, but then it became about pedagogy in general, how to be innovative online, how to be innovative in class. It was just extraordinary community and extraordinary care. And I mean, I could go on and on about this. So when it came to negotiating, I arrived at the negotiating table expecting what I had been experiencing. That's how I arrived, right? This, and I had learned from, you know, the executive committee that when Fordham had come to the union at the end of 2020 in December, because they were due, they were required by law to start negotiating in 2021, they came to the union and said, listen, we know it looks like vaccines are coming, but we are in terrible upheaval. Would you be willing to postpone for a year? By law, the union didn't have to say yes. They went to their membership. The membership voted and said, of course, we'll put it off for a year. Mm. And this is the quote, quote unquote, because we are all one Fordham.
Yeah.
That's the adjunct union. We are all one Fordham. And they did that in good faith, assuming that the union negotiations would then be speedy and efficient. So I arrived to the negotiating table in April of 2022, expecting that it's going to be like what I've experienced for the past 2 years. Now, interestingly, at the end of 2020, GSS stopped asking me to teach, which was just at the time that I would have entered what was called the probationary time, and that I would then have become, after the next year, eligible for contract. Mm-hmm. And I had been very, very vocal about, I'd been very negatively vocal about things that I had been seeing as a field advisor, and the field advising department has continued to be in a tremendous amount of upheaval. And I have a lot of experience as a clinician, as a consultant, and I was doing a lot of work for them out in the field. And the information that I had to bring back to them was completely dismissed. And I was remarkably dismissed. And my experience and expertise was completely dismissed. And I was on the front line with my students. So it was actually stunning and extremely hurtful. And they didn't like the dissent, right? They didn't like that I wouldn't not say what I saw. And I'm not sure how they felt about somebody that was such a nobody, you know, just this adjunct. I ended up being very like the face of GSS on this commission, you know, because my project that I ended up being a part of on that commission, it's still happening. And I don't know how they felt about that this basic stranger to GSS was the first person to be seen on the video talking about GSS. I don't know what the reasons were, but they didn't invite me back in 2020 to teach. And suddenly, out of the blue, in the spring of 2022, maybe because I went to every single class that was offered the faculty, the general faculty, they asked me to teach family-oriented treatment again, which is a course that I had taught before at GSS. And it was the first time I taught on Zoom, and we ended up having a love fest. I had 17, and we just had a love fest. Mm. And so while I'm teaching, I got involved with the union again, and I show up to these negotiations, and I'm startled.
Yeah.
Because the administration that's showing up at the table is nothing that I've experienced at Fordham ever before. It was just so startling to me, because everything I had experienced at Fordham, from my students to the extraordinary community that was formed in the pandemic, to the rigorous inclusivity that Anne Fernald insisted upon, to being immersed the past, 2020 through 2022 in what I believed was not propaganda, diversity, inclusivity, and equity, diversity. GSS provides Fordham with diversity. My classes are by far and away filled with people of color. And it remains, unlike education, unlike nursing, social work remains a woman's field. And to be paying their next, to their credit, GSS, also to their strategy, GSS likes to hire former alum, and for Fordham to be paying social work adjuncts and religion adjuncts $2,500 less than every other adjunct at Fordham is misogyny and racism. Mm. And it perpetuates that status quo that people who work with poor people need to be poor, and that money is bad.
Hmm.
And I have no idea how they expect people who are working with poor people to help them stop being poor if money is bad. And we're not meant to teach them, how to work in a capitalist society.
Yeah.
Legitimately, and not on the black market, right? And then the meanness of the countenance of the administrative approach. And then, this is my famous story of the negotiating. I was asked to give a reflection to sort of frame one negotiating day. And the administration arrived an hour late without calling us, without any forewarning. And that's a management tactic.
Mm-hmm.
To, throw you off balance, to get you disoriented, to communicate, we don't need you, you need us, so you'll wait. Furthermore, the union people do this voluntarily. They're not paid.
Yeah.
So your time is worthless. We're being paid. We can show up when we want. I was seething, Anna. I was seething.
Yeah.
I'm a professional, but also the craziness of it. You're hiring me as the face of Fordham to your students. This is the way you're going to treat the person that teaches, that is the mouthpiece to your students? You're not worried what I'm going to say to your students about how you're treating me? What is going on here? The union had said, yes, we will put off legally what you have to do because we are one forum. We didn't say that from a place of vulnerability. We said that from a place of power. We had the law on our side. We could have said, nope, too bad, guys. We don't care. You're in upheaval. That's what they would have done. It was like, what is happening here? This is not the Fordham that I'm in love with. And I know better. I know better. Human beings are risky to be in love with. Institutions are crazy to be in love with. I was seething, Anna, seething. And the whole tone of the negotiation was, we are teenagers coming to ask for a raise in our allowance.
Yeah. Ew.
It was ew. It was just so demeaning. We're all adults here. We are adults. I put three kids through a higher education. I've had to figure out how to budget for that. I know about budgets. Why are we adversaries here? If we are one Fordham, why aren't we working together? You know, my experience, I've had some experience in the pandemic working with CEOs of businesses. And I'm telling you right now, the CEOs of businesses who understood working collaboratively across businesses, those are the CEOs who not only survived, and I'm talking in retail, who not only survived the pandemic, but post-pandemic, if we are post-pandemic, they're thriving. They're thriving. They created networks across businesses, clothing businesses, with jewelry businesses, with other clothing. They're all sharing in their catalogs. They are thriving, collaborating. But this is no way to be. And going back to the beginning of our interview, this is all for one and one for all. This is not labor against management and management against labor, which is the way they came at us for 11 months, which meant, Anna, they got 2 extra years out of a contract.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got 2 extra years out of a contract. It was so beneath a Jesuit school. This is Jesus. Jesus who comes into the temple and overthrows the money changers. We cannot be both. We cannot be straddling both. This is Jesus. This is either or. And we have to believe that. This is a Jesuit university. That's what I experienced first and foremost in my introduction through my students. Then through the extraordinary faculty community and the tech community. When I finally was teaching on Zoom, it was a love fest. Mm-hmm. You can interview every one of those 17 students, and they will tell you about the course with Professor Knuths on Zoom. That's because the Fordham IT, I am telling you, Anna, from March of 2020 through December of 2020, were on call, and I can personally attest they were patient, kind, courteous. No matter how many times you needed help, no matter how many times they went through Google Suites with me, and I still need help on it. it was like they, maybe behind my back, they went, oh my God, Knuts is coming back. But they never let me know.
Mm.
That was Fordham. That was the Ramilly.
Yeah.
I, and at the end of my reflection, even though I composed myself, they were an hour late, I was calling patients on waiting and saying, I have to reschedule. What I experienced at the negotiating table was absolutely aberrant of what I'd experienced at Fordham. And I wrote an article, which I can say thank you, thank you, thank you to the paper staff at Lincoln Center, talked about we need to be negotiating at a round table. Mm. All my courses are taught in the round. They have always been taught in the round, because even though I am an expert that is being paid for what I know and my experience, I am sitting us as equals on a circle, because I want to know your experience, because your lived experience is an expertise, right? Your lived experience is a kind of expertise. It's not an expertise in the field per se, but it's an expertise that deserves equal hearing.
Mm.
Acting like I don't know how to care about budgets or have important perspectives about budgets when I put three children through graduate school?
Well, yeah. You brought up Jesus turning over the tables, and like, you can't serve two masters. And it sounds like there was service to the unity of the community, and one could argue through that God in so much of what you were describing earlier, which is like all of the love. You mentioned love so many times, which is beautiful. At the bargaining table, it switches to money.
What happened to the faith? To the faith.
Mm.
And if they want to be, they say, the Jesuit University of New York, then be the Jesuit University.
Yeah.
Have the faith. Have the love. Know that doing the right thing, it will be okay. And I'm teaching second year, second semester, GSS, master's social work students. So this is their last semester before they graduate. And one of the best kept secrets about social work school is that it is a grind. It is absolutely a grind. It is like whether you have another job outside of school, it is like going to school full time and working full time, because your internship, typically, they're not supposed to use you like a regular employee, but they do, because social work agencies are always shorthanded. So these students have been training in what's already a really hard program. In pandemonium. So we begin the semester, and a student tells me, either the first day of class or right before, she says, oh, by the way, I'm going to be having a baby in the middle of February. And I'm like, oh my God. I've never had a student who was 8 months pregnant, and it's her last semester. How in the world is she going to complete the semester? And this is a totally new experience for me, and we're on Zoom. So we begin the class, and right from the beginning, her baby is included in our class and referred to as our little auditor. And so, you know, I'm running the class. I just keep including this auditor in our class. And we discover that she's in labor in class. And then, we find out that she has our little auditor at 3 a.m. after the class. And then the next class, she brings the baby to class. And, she's holding him like this. And we don't get to know his name yet. And then the next class, she holds him up like in The Lion King, like Simba, and she announces his name, right? And so now he's a full member of the class, right? And for the next month, we get to keep seeing him. So we get to see, how he's growing. And then eventually, by April, he's now sleeping at our class time because it was a nighttime class.
All Who Labor is a member of the Labor Radio and Podcast Network. For more updates on this podcast, you can follow the show on Instagram at all.who.labor.pod or on Twitter at All Who Labor. Subscribe for future episodes, and if you like what you've heard, leave a rating and review. Thanks for listening.